How many of you remember that song years ago, from years back? I think it was originally recorded by Neil Sedaka, entitled Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. Remember that song? Come a down, shooby-doo. Okay. Yeah, keep going. Yeah. Come on, Brother Martin, let's have karaoke night. Well, there's another one, a variation on the theme of that song. Growing up is hard to do. It is. I can remember, you know, you hit your teenage years and go through all that. Then you transition from teens to 20s. And I can remember thinking, okay, at what point do you become a man? You know? I mean, how does that work? Well, some time went by, and I don't remember exactly how long. But one day, someone referred to me as sir. I thought, okay, I'm a man. And I remember this one time where there's a lady with her kid, and I'm going through a door, and she says, sweetheart, you know, now step back, let the man through. And I'm like, who's here? What? I guess I'm a man. The problem was the way she said it sounded so old. Like, let the man through. Like, hey, what do you mean, let me through? Like, I can't make it on my own? I mean, what's the deal here? And, yeah. And, you know, but it was. It was a challenging time. Because your whole life, you know, when you're in school, everybody's telling you what to do. You know, get up. Get out of bed. Get ready. Going to be late. I don't care. I don't even want to go. And I remember when I graduated from high school, I didn't immediately go to college. I continued working, and I had worked all through high school at a gas station. That's back when we pumped the gas, you know. Oh, man, I'm telling you, some people... That was a long time ago. Wait a minute. You mean we didn't have to pump it ourselves? No, we pumped it for you. And yeah, we cleaned the windshield. And some people, it was like they just waited till the worst possible weather to come in. Fill her up. Check the tires. Check under the hood. Check. How about if I let you check my knuckles? But I did. You know, I didn't say that, but boy, there were times I thought it. I thought some other stuff too, but I'm not going to say that from the pulpit. Yeah, just listen. You know, they come in, change. How many of you remember when you had to have your headlights changed in your car? Oh my goodness. And there was a metal ring that held the headlight in place, and the metal ring was held in place by these little screws. And the metal screws are constantly exposed to the weather, so they would get all rusty. And sometimes it was almost impossible to get those screws to break loose. And then it's cold and it's rainy, blah, blah, blah. Well, I remember when I graduated from high school and I did not go immediately to college, the owner of the gas station offered me full time at the gas station. I thought, okay, that's not bad. I remember he paid me $5 an hour. And I thought, whoa, yeah, buy a house, I'm going to buy a car, I'm going to buy... I thought that was, you know, I thought that was pretty decent money, you know, back then. But I remember September. It was the day to go back to school. And I'm standing there at the gas station. I remember this beautiful weather, September morning, gorgeous. And there was something in me. I need to be going somewhere. It's like 8 o'clock, I shouldn't be here. I should be, you know, at school. And that was a real transition. I mean, I had to adjust a lot to that. Well, as you get older, man, a lot changes. I remember thinking, you know, I'd hear old people talk about, you know, reading the obituaries. And I'm thinking, how stupid is that? You know, who cares, man? I mean, they're gone, you know, what of it? Well, anyway, well, all of a sudden you find out one day you're looking at the obituaries. It's like, hey, I know that person. I went to school. I dated her. But people that you know, and you realize, man, the clock is ticking on life. It is. And that's, you know, kind of a morbid thing. I get it. But it's reality. And I'll just be honest with you, I don't like it. You know, and not simply because, you know, yeah, can I get a witness? Amen. All of us, Brother Martin, all of us. But I can remember, you know, hearing like the old people talking about, oh boy, I'll tell you what, woo-wee, you know, and, you know, this hurts and that hurts and getting everything replaced and so forth. And I'm thinking, man, you're pathetic, you know, I mean, I'm glad I'm not like that. Well, guess what? When you get older, you realize things just don't work the way they used to. And well, that's a terrible confession. Oh, tell my body. It's it just happens, you know? And it's because the body is not yet glorified. So you go through a lot of transitions. One of the worst parts of getting old, at least from my perspective, as a Christian, I haven't done enough. I haven't done enough. I'm not where I ought to be. I've wasted how many years? And it's hard to accept that. You know, here I am. I've crossed over into the 60s. It won't be long. I'll be getting all of the stuff in the mail about Medicare and all that. Who's this for? It can't be for me. Burn this trash. But that's the way it goes. And I sit back and I think, okay, nobody knows when they're going to die. Nobody does. I mean, you just don't know. Now, I know there are stories of people, God like has revealed it to them, you know, okay, now tomorrow I'm going to call you home. Or tomorrow you're going to come be with me. Or tomorrow, whatever. And Charles Capps was like that. He called his family together and he said, all right, now listen, tomorrow I'm dying. And, you know, you kind of like, yeah, okay, Grandpa, whatever. But sure enough, the next day, you know, had breakfast, went in, went to bed, boom, that's it. He's gone. Now, that's the way to go. You know, when you know it, when you know, and you tell everybody and just wave goodbye. But that's kind of rare. So we're on our way out. You say, glory to God, Brother Martin, what kind of sermon is this? This is a reality check. It is. And every one of us in here, well, every Christian to whom it really matters, it bothers us that we're not further along in God than we think we should be. Now look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now I know this is kind of started out, you know, like a really depressing sermon. What happened to the exhortation, edification, and comfort thing, Brother Martin? We're getting there. Don't worry. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now this is an instruction from God. And some people might try to pull a fast one and say, well, yeah, but this was Paul's instruction to Timothy. It doesn't apply to the rest of us. Come on. You know, don't buy into that. This is an instruction from God to us. So every single one of us, we read that verse. And I'm not sure that all Christians would respond this way, but I think a lot would. And I would truly hope that all who are a part of this ministry, either physically present or our long-distance family, would say something like, you know what? I know I need to do that, but I got to tell you, it just is not happening. And I don't know what to do. Well, look over in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. You know, Jesus, I want to know you better. I want to know you better. Jesus, reveal yourself to me. How many times have we thought that, prayed that, wished that, hoped that? Well, look here in John chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Searching the scriptures, or studying to show yourself approved unto God, is one of the best ways to get a greater revelation of Jesus. You know, I remember years ago hearing Kenneth Copeland share a testimony. He had heard about other ministers and so forth. You know, Jesus appeared unto me. And so he wanted Jesus to appear unto him. You know, oh, Jesus, I want you to appear unto me. And he said the Lord spoke to him and said, well, I can. But if I do, it's going to set you back, I think he said, like 5 years in your walk with me. And you might think, how in the world is seeing Jesus going to set you back? It's because you're depending upon a manifestation that it really shouldn't have to happen, as opposed to searching the scriptures, studying to show yourself approved to get the revelation. Remember what Jesus told Thomas, you know, after Jesus was resurrected from the grave? You know, Thomas, he heard the stories that Jesus was raised from the dead, and he said, unless I see the nail prints and touch the hole in his side and all that. And so then Jesus shows up, and he said, all right, Thomas, well, here, touch my hands and put your, you know, hand in the side and all that. Thomas says, you know, oh, my Lord, my God. And Jesus says, you know, Thomas, I'm paraphrasing here. Thomas, it's really good that you believe. You know what? Blessed are those who don't see and believe. So as much as we'd like to see Jesus, really, it's to our benefit not to. We're going to eventually. Now, we know that. We're going to eventually, you know? But it's really to our benefit, as hard as this might be to understand, to not see him now. And to depend on the Word of God. You know, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. And this would include the revelation we get from the Word of Jesus. But what's interesting is when Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You realize he's talking about the Old Testament? Think about that. He's talking about the Old Testament. He's saying, search the Law and the Prophets. Search what we call the Old Testament. They testify of me. Do you realize Jesus is saying you can meditate in the Old Testament and capture a revelation of me? Well, you know, we hear this and it's like, wow, man, I never heard of it like that before. Never thought of it that way. I'd sure like to do that. I'd sure like to search the Scriptures. But I just don't know if I can. Oh, I can read, but I just don't know how I'm going to be able to do it. Well, let's look at another place. Look in Psalm 29. Psalm 29. And let's take a look here. Verses 1 and 2. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory do unto his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know, a lot of people misquote this, worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. He says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, okay? Now, you have to understand so much. Okay, remember Jesus said, search the scriptures, and he's talking Old Testament, they testify of me, meaning contained in the Old Testament is a massive amount of prophecy giving a revelation of Jesus. Likewise, there is so much of the Old Testament relative to the people of that time, but it was also prophetic. For example, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Okay? Now, in the New Testament, it tells us that when we're born again, we're created out of God's righteousness and true holiness. When he says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, he's talking about worship the Lord out of the beauty of the holiness you've been made in Christ Jesus. Remember what Jesus said to that lady, that Samaritan lady? He said, you know, the Father's looking for people that are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, well, this is kind of a variation on that. And he says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And so we read this, and this is just one verse of a multitude that talk about, you know, worship the Lord, worship the Lord. And we think, well, you know what? You know, I come to church and I do that. But I do understand that I should do it away from here. That it should be more a part of my life. But, man, I got to tell you, I just feel like I'm a failure in this. I mean, I'm just not worshiping. I'm just not. Well, look over in Psalm 63. Psalm 63, in verse 1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Well, this part here, you know, okay, I'm not in a dry and thirsty land and whatever, but the imagery presented here, I'm supposed to be seeking him. And here it says, you know, early will I seek thee. But early or late, I'm supposed to be seeking him. And again, I have to be honest, it's just not happening. I don't like to admit this, but this is how it is for me. This is what's going on in my life. Well, okay, well, how about Psalm 119? Hey, Brother Martin, you're just making me feel all kinds of warm and fuzzy here. Psalm 119, verse 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. In other words, I force myself to stay awake so I can meditate in the word. And some people would think, you know, that's about the last verse I needed to hear. I mean, if you're like me, Jesus is my best friend. Second is Kathy. Third is my bed. I mean, hey, I love you guys, all right? But I really like my bed. It's like, okay, I see this. I wish it weren't in there, Brother Martin. Are you sure you didn't add that later on? Because I got to admit, it's not happening. And here's the thing, Brother Martin, I know. Nobody can pray change into my life. Nobody can lay hands on me and bring about this change that I know should be taking place. It's something I have to, you know, do on my own. Well, you know, you can be like a whole lot of people. Well, for example, when Jesus was on the earth, you had a lot of Jewish leaders. It was interesting how that, remember when Jesus said to them, search the scriptures, they testify of me? He was talking to people that had the scriptures memorized. Think about that. He says, search the scriptures. And they're like, how many would you like us to quote to you today? What do you mean, search the scriptures? It's because they had taken an academic approach to the Word. Now see, we can be like that and take an academic approach. That's not what this is about. This is about fellowship with God. As much as I would like to, man, be translated to heaven like all these other people claim and see God on His throne and sit down and have a little talk with Jesus. Tell Him all about my troubles. Maybe even write a song about it. See, I need to take, I'll say it like this, I need to take a living life approach to all of this as opposed to an academic approach. Because these guys, think about it, these religious leaders, man, they knew the Law and the Prophets. They knew them. And not only that, but they went through all the feasts and the festivals and the sacrifices. In other words, they did all this. But they still did not have a revelation of Jesus. They went through the motions. You guys don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to go through the motions. I want it to be real. So do you. The problem is, it's not happening. Let's just be honest here. And we think, you know, boy, I tell you by now, every person I lay hands on should be getting healed. Well, okay. Every dead person that I encounter should be raised from the dead. Every maimed person should be made whole. All right, well, let's say that's true. I mean, ultimately, we know that's the potential. However, there's a lot more going on than maybe what we think about. See, every one of us, we can only do what we can do. Now, that's just the way it is. You know, for years, Pastor Dave Roberson would talk about how he spent time praying in tongues. But for a while, he wouldn't tell everybody how long he prayed every day. And the reason for that was because he knew if he did, that would put a lot of people under condemnation. What? You're praying 8 hours a day? I mean, eventually he explained that when he quit his job at the lumber mill, he went to this place. It had been at one time it was a bowling alley, and they were using it as a church, and he would go into a room, and he would begin praying. I mean, he'd get in that room, and when the whistle would blow at the lumber mill, signaling, okay, time to go to work, he'd start praying. And when the whistle would blow for coffee break, he'd go take a coffee break, just like the guys at the mill. And when the whistle would blow for lunch, he'd do lunch. And when the whistle would blow, time to go home, he'd go home. But all that time, you know, 8 hours a day, and as he's praying in tongues. And he said at first he didn't know what was going on. He tried praying in English, but he said, you know, after a while you run out of things to pray for. You prayed for all the missionaries in China and all the starving children and everything else. I mean, what's left? So he started praying in tongues, and he didn't even know for sure if scripturally that was the correct thing to do. Well, eventually he found out that it is the okay thing to do, an encouraged thing to do. But he didn't tell people about that because he knew they would come under condemnation. And then eventually, you know, he began to talk about that. Well, he also spent a lot of time in worship, private worship. He was at home, or when he would be traveling and ministering, but he would spend time just worshiping. Now, for a long time, he wouldn't tell anybody how long he prayed or worshiped. He wouldn't say if it was an hour or two or five or whatever. Turns out, you know, it was like 8 hours. But he didn't say why, or he didn't say how long, because he knew people would come under condemnation. In fact, we had a student one time in the Bible college who read Pastor Dave's book, Walk of the Spirit, Walk of Power, And in that book, he talks about having, you know, the hours that he would spend praying in tongues. And this particular student got a little irate. Nobody can do that. Nobody can do that. Well, now, and he was ready to, like, you know, toss the book and whatever, and it had to be explained to him, this is not an instruction. This is a revelation. This is what Pastor Dave said he did. He's not telling you to do the same. He's testifying, here's how I got where I am. Now somebody would say, but yeah, man, 8 hours a day though. I mean, I know I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like the Apostle Paul. But along the way, it wouldn't be so bad to be like Pastor Dave, pray for all those people and they get healed and so on and so forth, be able to deliver the Word of God that way. Well, have you ever thought of this? Maybe you don't need 8 hours a day to get like that. You ever thought of that? See, one of the things that Pastor Dave talks about is having to break free from what he calls his holiness background. He laughs about years ago saying, well, when I'm pastoring a church, there won't be any women wearing pants in my church. Okay, well, that changed. But that's just one example of, I mean, he was into the, you women, you better not cut your hair. You better not wear jewelry. You go to hell. And it's hot. Well, see, he had to break free from all that. And it took a while. So, during those 8 hours a day of praying in tongues, it wasn't just that the Holy Spirit was helping him to understand the Word of God more clearly, but he was also helping Pastor Dave uproot all that stuff that was a stumbling block in his own life. It wasn't sin, it was just stuff that was interfering. Well, what if you don't have all that kind of stuff in you? What if you don't need 8 hours a day? Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm not trying to diminish the value of praying 8 hours a day. But guys, let's be honest here. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody can worship 4 hours a day and pray in tongues 4 hours a day and then meditate in the Word for 4 hours a day. See, fasting does not require extra time. I mean, you can fast no matter what you're doing. It doesn't require you, you know, setting aside special time. But prayer, worship, and the Word, it will. Okay, here we are. We want to be like Jesus. We want to do these things for God. But we can begin to develop this. You've heard the term a glass ceiling? You know what I'm talking about? They say, well, there's a glass ceiling for women in the workplace. I mean, you can't really see it, but they can't get promoted beyond a certain point and so forth. All right. We create our own glass ceiling. In other words, I can never be what God wants me to be because I can't pray 8 hours a day. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? And so we impose limitations on ourselves that God hasn't imposed. He's not saying, I'd sure like to use you, but until you quit your job and go full time, whatever that means, then I can't use you. We don't talk about this, but that is exactly how a lot of Christians believe. That's what they think. I can't be what God wants because I have all these other things I have to do. You know what? That is a surprise to God. He didn't know you had other things you have to do. Why, all this time he's been up in heaven thinking, why aren't they praying? You know, here I am in their living room. Where'd they go? They left about 7:30. Yesterday they came home about 5:30. I mean, where have they been all day? At work. They were at work so they can make money to pay the bills, to keep the lights on for you, God, while you were there in the living room. Now, you know I'm being silly. Now, brother, you're being normal. But see, we get these ideas that if I can't do it this way, and it's like we create certain standards for ourselves, I have to be able to do this or I'll never be what God wants me to be. I've got news for you. That's not true. You have to do what God wants you to do. And therein lies the difference, because what God wants you to do is different from what God wants you to do. It's all relative. See, in our lives, we have need-tos and we have choose-tos. Now, the need-tos are the things that we need to do. The choose-tos are the things we choose to do. What are some need-tos? Go to work? Work my job? I mean, man doesn't work, he doesn't eat.
Well, yeah, Brother Martin, but you don't work.
Yeah, okay. Okay, all the people that wish.
If I could only go full-time in ministry,
Yeah, do it. Just go ahead. You are in for the shock of your life. The way you think it will be, it ain't going to be. You'll come under more attack then over your time than you are now. Well, the have-tos, the need-tos, your work. You got to clean the house. I mean, sooner or later, you got to clean the house. Sooner or later, you got to do your laundry. Either that or throw it away and buy new, but you got to do something. And, yeah, you can fast for a while, but sooner or later, you have to eat. Whether you cook or whether you, you know, go out and eat somewhere. But you have to. How many of you figured out eating takes time? I don't care if you can swallow a bologna sandwich whole. It takes time. Don't try that. Oh, Brother Martin, I'm...
It's almost in there.
If you go to school, you're in school. You understand what I'm saying? You're not home. You're in school. Now, when you're in school, you know, I mean, you can be a kid in school, you can be an adult in school. When you're in school, do you know what's expected? You pay attention to the teacher. When you're sitting in biology class, you're supposed to be listening to the teacher. The one thing you don't do is sit there and start going, "Hallelujah, Jesus, glory to your name, Lord. I worship you, Jesus." Okay. There is a time and a place. You understand this? So when you're in school to listen to the teacher. You're in school to receive the education. And sometimes they give you homework. So when you go home, you're supposed to do your homework. Now, it's hard to do homework when you have your eyes closed in prayer. Oh, Lord. So you got to do your homework along with this. You know, sometimes you have, you know, doctor's appointments. I remember when I turned 50 and I was at the doctor for something. I mean, I hardly ever go to the doctor. But I'm there with the doctor, and it's interesting, my doctor's a lady. And been going to her for years. What I didn't know is that she and I graduated the same year from the same high school. I mean, there was like between 500-600 people in our class. So I did not know that she was a part of the class. And then she is a Christian, you know, great lady. Well, anyway, I hit 50. And she's looking, she goes, well, you know, now that you're 50, you really need to go and have a colonoscopy. Like, what? What? I don't think so. Okay, that's a part of the getting old thing that just is, I don't like that idea. You say, Brother Martin, how are you going to fit a colonoscopy into this sermon? I'm not. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. But I did, you know, I mean, it's, they say, you know, you should do it. It's like, okay, well, I'll go have it done. But, I mean, okay, it takes time to go to the doctor for the exam. But that particular kind of exam, you got to drink a bunch of stuff to clean you out before you go. And so, you know, you're making tracks to the bathroom quite frequently. Now, the point I'm getting at, again, is there are things that go on in our lives that need to be done. You have to do these things. These are need-tos. You're supposed to do this. And it doesn't make God mad when you do them. Now, when you're doing them, you might be thinking, man, you know, I'd rather be home reading my Bible. Okay, that's admirable. Really, it is. But this other stuff's got to be done. Yard work. You know, if you don't cut your grass, eventually the city comes and cuts it for you, and then they assess your tax. You have to pay for it. There are things in your home, maintenance things. It just, life has to be dealt with. And God is not upset when you deal with life. Well, you know, I work all day, then I got to come home and deal with all this stuff. That's right, you do. You have to. If you have children, they need your attention. They need your time. And because children are a heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb is His reward, you're training up that child in the way that child should go. You need, listen now, this is going to mess up some people's theology. Get out of the prayer closet and get in there with your kid. I didn't say ignore prayer. Get in there with your children. Spend time with your children. They need that. And so God is not going, now granted, we can go overboard with, you know, time with the kids. I get that. But God's not going to be upset because you're giving attention to His heritage. And you're spending time with your children. If you're married, you need to spend time with your spouse. Get out. Yeah, that came from a newlywed, okay? So I think we're just kind of move on, all right, here? Somebody give him a Snickers bar, okay? What are we talking about here? Spouse. Yeah. Okay. If you're married, it doesn't matter if you're married, you know, a year, 10 years, 50 years. Okay, you need to spend time with your spouse. You need to. Get out of the worship closet and spend time with your spouse. And for crying out loud, don't get all spiritual and tell your spouse, well, I know it's our anniversary, and I know that you'd really like to go out and eat, but I'm fasting at this time. You need to be slapped in the head. You be coming to me saying, oh, they're divorcing me. I don't understand it. You need to get your priorities in order. You can fast other times. I know you guys are understanding what I'm sharing. There are need-tos. And God is not offended by the need-tos. And the need-tos take up a lot of time, which means you don't have a whole lot of time left over. And let me share something else with you. There comes a point in time. Now, what I'm getting ready to share with you is, what's the right word? The makeup of the human being. there are times when we as humans need a break from in-depth mental focus on things. Now, let me give you an example. Take a break, sit down, and watch the football game. It's okay. Oh, no, Brother Martin, we don't have time. You know what? Somebody, we were off on a, it was like a holiday weekend, and I said, okay, guys, you know, we're not having Sunday night service. You know, just make the best of it. Enjoy, you know, take the kids, maybe go to a movie, you know, a good clean movie with the kids. Just enjoy this time together as a family. And you know, somebody got upset with me about that. You know, there are too many lost people in the world. We need to be out there serving Jesus. We need to be. And I'm thinking, honestly, to this day, I hope that person was just joking with me. But I'm not so sure. And if that person was not joking, that person told me their life is out of balance. It's okay, because there are times when our mind needs to relax. There's such a thing as mental fatigue. See, the brain can only handle so much intense focus, and then it needs a break. Even if that break is just taking a walk around the block, you know, 15, 20 minutes, an hour, whatever. I mean, the brain needs a break. Now, this is how the human works, human being works. And so, it's okay to do this stuff. It's not wrong. And it doesn't make you a sinner, and it doesn't make you a hypocrite. What it makes you is normal. It's okay. And these people that would want to hammer you and say, you know, well, if you're not praying, you better be eating or sleeping or you know, no, that's not the way it is. Do you remember when Jesus, I forget what chapter, book, and all that, but Jesus was ministering. And there were so many people. And the Bible says that Jesus, his apostles, they didn't even have time to sit down and have a meal. You know what Jesus did? Now, you've got to remember, there was a bunch of people. We're talking like a few thousand people. There was a bunch of people there. And Jesus, he looks at the folks, he says, hold on, everybody, hold on just a second. And he calls the apostles over and he says, fellas, look, I want you to go get in the boat, and I want you to go to the other side and rest. He says, I will send the people home. Jesus, the Son of God, Messiah, he stops ministering and tells people, go home.
Well, that's not the Jesus I serve.
Yeah, it is. That's the kind of a thing we kind of gloss over when it comes to our walk with God. But along with the need to's, there are choose to's. It's the choose to's which can cause the problem. Now, a moment ago, I just gave the illustration, the example of, you know what? Take a break. Watch the football game. But you can choose to watch the next one, and the next one, and the next one will be up till 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night, and not feel like coming to church the next day. That's the choose to. Follow me? You have to do yard work. I get it. But you can choose to turn your yard into something that looks like it came off a magazine cover. And I'm telling you right now, I know for a fact, that will eat up hours like you can't believe. That's a choose to. If it means that much to you, just go out and buy some of those plastic flowers and stick them. No, don't do that. That looks tacky. That's like, hey, over down here over on Research, right in between County Line, or right in between like Shakertown and Woodman, there was a house, no joke, they had a toilet in the front yard, and they were using it as a planter. They had, I kid you not, a toilet in the front yard, and they're growing plants out of it.
Well, we've gone from the colonoscopy to the toilet in the front yard. Glory to God.
I can
can't believe he's saying these things from the pulpit. I can't believe it. I just can't.
Well, anyway.
There are choose-tos. When you feel like you've got to get your children involved in every activity known to man, those are choose-tos. And you're training your children to live by choose-tos and exalt choose-tos over the need-tos and over the need to be with the Lord. And we make excuses for our choose-tos. I understand that. I mean, we've all done that. It's okay. The thing is, and here's what I've learned. On the inside of us, we have that conscience. And, you know, in Romans, it talks about how that the Gentiles who never had the law, when they do what's recorded in the law, as, you know, don't steal, don't murder, and things like that, well, they become a law unto themselves because their conscience is working in them to either, you know, their thoughts condemning or approving what you're even thinking about doing. And so, you know, we talk about that as though, you know, well, you know, I've been thinking about committing adultery. You know, and that conscience says, are you crazy? No, don't even think about that. But there's more to it than that. That conscience will also begin to deal with you about the choose-tos. And you'll have a little something here on the inside that's saying, you know, you really don't have to do this. You really don't need to. You could set this aside. For me, here recently, we had to have a lot of work done at our house in the basement. We had to have it waterproofed. It was a major project. And we had to move everything away from the walls of the basement into the center of the basement. I mean, everything. And it had to be, it was a need to. And I had to completely eliminate a lot of time that I would have spent, you know, listening to sermons, in the Word, so on and so forth. And I didn't like it. But this had to be done. I mean, this had to be done. So, I didn't like it. And it wasn't like super hard, sweaty work. But it took effort. And I had to get this done. Now, it's still like that. They came, they did the work. And we had to have other stuff done as well. And we're now finally at the point to where we can start to clean up and put everything back where it was. Okay, that's need to stuff. And I don't like the way it's interfering with my life. But it's need to. Got to deal with it. Well, the day's coming, it'll be over and done with. And, you know, praise God for it, and the basement will be better. I mean, the house is 77 years old, so things have to be dealt with. But it's the choose-to stuff. Okay, here's another example. There are things that I could do myself, but my time is more valuable than the money I would save by doing it myself. And so I pay to have somebody do the something. Okay, remember what the apostle said when the people were complaining about, well, folks are being ignored during the daily ministration of the food, so on and so forth. And the apostle said, you know what? We don't have time for this. So we're going to have other people be appointed to do that task. We're giving ourselves to prayer and the Word. Well, as crazy as it may seem, all these people out there that are the, you know, they can do everything, carpentry, plumbing, electrical, and so I saved money. Okay, praise God for it. But was that really a need to for you? The project needed to be done, but was it your need to or was it your choose to? You see what I'm getting at? Just because you can do something, whatever that something would be, doesn't mean it is a need to. And this is where seeking God and having Him help you understand the difference between a need to and a choose to is going to make all the difference in your life. Now, when it comes to the need to's, God knows how much time you have in life. He knows how much time the need to's are going to eat up. He knows this. And he's not mad. He's not angry. And there's no condemnation. There's not even, you know, all this conviction that we would put on ourselves. So what that means is, whatever time you have left over from the need-tos, that's what you steward for your spiritual growth. And when you begin to steward that time for your spiritual growth, the growth is going to take place, and God will honor that. He'll work in you. He knows, look, not everybody is called to quit their secular job and go into, quote, you know, full-time ministry. So that means you've got thousands and thousands and thousands upon thousands of Christians around the world who are going to be working a secular job until retirement, whatever that means for that individual. God knows this, and it's okay. It's perfectly all right. And he can still use you to minister healing to people, to raise the dead, whatever it would be. He can still use you in spite of the fact that you don't think he can because you don't have all the time to give that you think you need to give. What can you give? How much time can you give? Redeem the time. Take advantage of your driving time. Well, I like to listen to the radio. Okay, turn the radio on. Listen to it. Pray in the Spirit while you're driving. You see what I'm getting at? Just redeem the time. It's okay. One of the things that you can do is you can have, like when you're at home, okay, whatever your situation would be, there are times when you're giving attention to a need to where why not listen to a recording of the Bible being read. Why not do that? You know, I had done that for years, and I kind of let it slip, and now I've kind of been getting back into it. And so I'll be doing other things, and the Bible is playing softly in the background. And even though I'm not consciously focused on listening to it, it's being sown into my spirit. It's being sown. And faith is being developed. So see, there are ways that you can redeem your time even during some of the need-tos. Don't come under the condemnation that God can't use me because I can't give him X amount of time, whatever time you think you should be giving him. He knows what you can do. And he will accept whatever you give him. He'll work with whatever we can offer up to him. And for some people, listen, how many of you have had all the greatest intentions of the world? You know, here you are. you wake up and you think, boy, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I don't have much going on today. I mean, I got to go to work. But then when I get home, there's nothing on the schedule. And, you know, I can skip the TV shows tonight. Now I'll be able to spend time with the Lord. Well, then when you get home, guess what? Stuff happens. And then here it is bedtime. You are exhausted. And you want to stay up, and so you try. And so you sit down and you open your Bible. A few minutes later, you realize your face is buried in your Bible and you've been drooling all over the pages. It's like, wait a minute. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. You know what he would say to you right then? It's okay, son. It's okay, daughter. Your body needs rest. Go on to bed. It's okay. Go rest. There's no condemnation. I'm still working with you. He is our Father. Give him what you can. Redeem what you can, and then he'll work with everything we give him, and we will grow and mature, and he'll use us.